technologies that are available right now, the whole idea of the UFO phenomenon, what actually is going on from a governmental side as well as from the individual experiencer side. So extraordinarybeliefs.com is essentially an investigative film series into the extraordinary beliefs of credible individuals.
Right. So what are some extraordinary beliefs, besides, say, believing in UFOs, what are the extraordinary beliefs that that you believe in?
Me personally.
That you believe in or that you're trying to prove either are true or not true. I know you're not really trying to prove anything.
No, that,
you're trying to present. That's the idea.
I'm taking, you know, people who are of high credibility, who have belief systems that are outside that of the norm, and I am listening to what they have to say, documenting, recording, and I am allowing them to testify and amplifying their story. So it's right. Not me trying to prove a belief, although I do have my own understanding of the universe, and the weight of the evidence has become heavy for certain things, such as visitation from other intelligences. But I'm not trying to prove anything, because you have to weaponize your own curiosity. You need to be interested.
Right.
You know, if I'm interested, can I get you interested?
Right. So I like that jumping off point, because you're not saying that this is specifically true. You're looking for sort of empirical evidence to prove that something either is or isn't true. So let's start by talking about aliens. As I said, it's one of my favorite topics.
Jump right in.
Let's jump right into aliens. We're not going to mess around.
Okay.
We're going right into aliens.
Yeah.
Okay. So we see footage of things all the time. We see footage of UFOs and, you know, something in the distance and a guy walking in a forest and all these things. What for you would count as real evidence? Could someone hand you something that was videotaped or shot digitally or something, and would that be enough? Is there anything that would be enough to qualify as real evidence?
You know, it's the first question that I asked a number of people when I started this journey is, you know, can you put something in my hand? I very quickly decided to turn the cameras kind of, you know, away from the sky and towards the individuals who have experienced things, because you learn a lot more. So the evidence for me is best described, or the most compelling evidence is the testimony from individuals who are involved at various levels, from governmental levels to personal experience levels, who have nothing to gain and everything to lose by telling me an extraordinary story. That is some of the best evidence, rather than if I personally have an experience and I see something earth-shattering, which
right,
I haven't.
Right, because if you see it, they're going to be like, the guy with the website.
Right, know? But that's right. Cool. I wish I did see some of these things that these people are seeing, and I haven't. I've seen some extraordinary things that I can't, they don't compute, I don't know how to, you know, where to, they go in a gray basket, but I don't definitively know, as you said the word aliens, that these are aliens. You know, what is alien? Alien is anything we don't understand yet. This may be a natural phenomenon, and what we're experiencing are kind of repercussions of that. We don't exactly know.
Right, so that's sort of like when they say an unidentified flying object.
It is unidentified.
That doesn't mean it's from another world. It just means it's unidentified.
So the military calls them UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena, and that's to separate even more from the reality that there are disks, there are hard physical craft that are traveling in our airspace with impunity.
Right.
And this is something that's been going on since the beginning of recorded human history, but the military got really interested in this, obviously, in the early 40s. So that is true, and that is a fact. We have radar reports, air radar, air visual, ground visual. We have trained observers, people who have interacted with these disks. I even, you know, interviewed a number of people who were involved in back engineering programs. But the point is that the top of it? Is that what this is all about?
Right.
Is it about disks in the sky? I think it's about a lot more than that.
So, all right, so back to the original question then. So you're saying that the biggest evidence for you would be someone that really told you that they experienced it, and they have a lot to lose and nothing to gain. But as someone that believes in science, that's sort of a hard way to quantify this, right?
Well, right. I mean, the best evidence would be to experience something personally, but I do not have the ability to like, you know, bring this into my backyard.
Right. So can you give me an example of like someone that you talked to that told you of an experience that was so profound that you thought, all right.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So remember, there's people of high credibility, but did they have the access? And so that's the difference. Someone in a position who would be able to know these things. That's very different.
Right.
So we held, my friends and I held along, in 2013, the citizen hearing on disclosure. And this was where we had a panel of 40 witnesses, including the Defense Minister of Canada, astronauts,
I've seen that video.
Okay, so that was my friend Ruben Langdon's and my company. That was our event. Mm-hmm. And we had people testify over a week at the National Press Club about their involvement in the cover-up or their direct experiences with these unknown objects of unknown origin. So for me, that was very compelling to sit for a week and to listen to the testimony of, again, intelligence officials, military, astronauts, pilots, head of second in command of the FAA, John Callahan. Hearing these people talk about their experiences is compelling. The weight becomes heavy.
Yeah.
There is a phenomenon. We seem to be in a place where we are being visited by other intelligences. Now, where they're from, you know, another planet, another dimension, I have no idea. I just know that...
Oh, man, you got to give me one. Planet or dimension, give me something.
You know, I would be really sad if it was they were coming from other solar systems, because that would be a much smaller understanding than I think is really the truth. I truly believe that the phenomenon is bigger than that. I don't think these are just craft or scouts or probes with occupants or not coming from other solar systems. It doesn't make sense. There's a much bigger picture when you really look into it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to do a bunch more with Jeremy, but I think this was a good jumping off point. So what do you think? Are you a believer? What would it take to get you to believe? Do you have to see it with your own eyes, or would someone else's evidence work for you? Let us know in the comments right down below. All right. So if aliens were actually here, which I certainly think is a possibility, I think there is potential that a higher intelligence is visiting, maybe watching something. I don't know, but I think it is certainly a possibility. Wouldn't they be advanced enough to never even give us a hint that they exist? So doesn't that make this whole conversation kind of tough? Because if they were so advanced, then they wouldn't need us to know, right? And then at the same level, maybe we found something out about them that they weren't prepared for, et cetera, et cetera.
You make actually a really good point. You know, we can map the entire surface of the moon with two probes that we sent up. And anybody, if they were living on the moon, would never know the difference.
Right.
So why are these close contacts occurring throughout human history? You know, why do you even need this? So you really ask the big question there, which is that, yes, an advanced civilization that was here to monitor or map simply the Earth itself or our evolution would never, ever need to be recognized by us. I agree with you.
Yeah.
So
because the point being that they would be so advanced that they wouldn't just come here with a giant ship and be watching us, and we'd all be looking at
them. We make assumptions. I mean, we don't know what an advanced species would want.
Right.
So there seems to be something more than that going on. There certainly are, you know, things going through our airspace with impunity. But additionally to that, from the military perspective of national security, there's the human experience. These stories are profound, and they equate across the board. There's similarities between all of them.
Yeah.
There is something more going on with these individuals who are experiencing these entities.
Yeah. Can you give me, like, what's the most concrete story that you've heard that sort of transcended between a lot of different people from all over the place? Like, give me what's like one story that really is.
I was just in Arizona, where they had a very famous event called the Phoenix Lights, and the Phoenix Lights was this huge craft that hovered and slowly traversed the airspace of Phoenix, Arizona. Thousands and thousands of people saw it, silent, huge. I mean, you can't even understand the size of a couple football fields of a craft, right? Now, Governor Fife Symington, I believe his name is, he, at the time, denied it. He made a joke of it. He held a press conference, had a little alien guy come in with a mask. And then about 10 years later, he went on a documentary and said, I did that for public panic. I saw it too, and it was not of this earth. So that's why I just went on a Fox News show and talked about it, because they're really interested. So that is an event, the Phoenix Lights, where thousands and thousands of people saw the same thing, and it was all covered up.
So is this one of these things where we fundamentally, and I think this is in a weird way, like, very unique to America, we have like a severe distrust of the government, which sometimes I think is healthy, but in another way hurts us. What do you think the government's angle is here?
They have earned our distrust, especially on this issue. You know, we know the FBI, we know the CIA have been studying this, we know the Navy, the Army, the Air Force has been studying this. We have documents, yet they throw the smoke and mirrors, nothing to see here, move on. They have earned our distrust on this topic. Now, what is the agenda? Why? You know, the greatest thing that I've come to is that a technological advantage means that you are a superior nation. If you have a technological advantage, yeah, right?
You get to say it louder, at least.
You get to say it louder.
Right.
And so for me, that's kind of the best argument that why would a government cover this up? There's two reasons. One is they want a technological advantage. And two is the reality is stranger than you think.
Yeah.
And that's the weird one.
Right. So I tend to think it would be the second one, that it would be something that would be so crazy if another civilization was watching us that they think all hell would break loose if we found out.
Well, we're beyond that. Every religion on the planet has basically come from the idea of people from the heavens coming down and creating their race.
Do you think those things are connected? Because you hear a lot about that a lot of like religious dogma is based in what people said aliens came here and did, aliens built the pyramids, or you hear that kind of thing, like, and that's where religious dogma came from, like actual aliens visiting along.
Yeah, a lot of people.
You can see I watch a lot of ancient.
Yeah, movies. No, you do, and you're, yeah. And a lot of people say that we have been influenced, and that our culture has been influenced. Humanity has even been genetically altered or influenced by visitors. Now, it's certainly in the text. Like, we know that for sure. Beings that ascend and descend, from essentially ships, This is almost in every religion that in some way there are star beings or beings from the heavens that come down. Now, is that true? I have no idea. I don't even know if the written word is true. But there is certainly evidence to suggest that we are not alone.
Yeah.
Never have been.
Are aliens watching us right now? Are you watching us right now? Let us know in the comments right down below. All right, so what the hell's going on at Area 51? I want an answer right now. I want the official line. What's going on at Area 51?
Area 51 is a place where we had great innovation back in the day. So the SR-71 was developed at Area 51. A lot of the stealth technologies were developed at Area 51. In fact, though, Area 51 has sub-bases. So, for example, there is a base called S4, and this is south of Groom Lake by Papoose Lake. Now, this has been verified to me in numerous ways that I'm going to be presenting in some of my films.
Okay.
I have a short film. If you go to alienpropulsion.com, it's about a man named Bob Lazar. Bob Lazar is the cosmic whistleblower. He was tasked by the federal government to back-engineer saucers. Craft from, not from here.
Right.
So Area 51 is a place where great technology was developed, but the actual projects that are, off-world, allegedly, are taken care of in other places, such as S4 by Papoose Lake.
Yeah. So what would you say to the people that will say, well, if there was something really going on at Area 51, and if they were hiding something, and if aliens had really visited, that there would be no way to keep the secret?
Yeah, that's a lack of imagination. Anybody who spent time in the military will tell you, not only do we have secrets, but we keep them. It is not hard to keep a secret.
Yeah.
And so that's a real lack of imagination. We have secrets, we keep secrets, and this is the biggest one. A very important one because of the technologies.
Right. So speaking of the technologies, every time we do an alien story or anything about the future, I'm a firm believer that if the aliens get here first, they ultimately will destroy us. And if we were to get to another planet, we would destroy them because we see what we do to humans here. Right. Every time anyone explores anywhere, what do? You end up killing them and taking all their resources.
Hopefully then
it's what Avatar is all about and a million other sci-fi movies, which I want to get to in a second. But does that theory make sense to you?
No. Okay. Hopefully there'd be a courtship period where we were all in love.
Well, I think we'd have a little of that. Like, we'd be very wowed by them. But ultimately, because if they left their planet, it stands to reason that they were exploring because they needed something. Like, we're going to destroy Earth on our own, and then we're going to have to go.
That may be true, but you have to look at it a few different ways. One is that we may be an asset to them. And that's the thing. Life itself is precious. So, life itself may be an asset. We don't really know what the end game is. And I'd also have to say that the evidence has shown that, in my personal opinion, that there has been contact. And it's been going on for a long time. We're still here.
Yeah. So give me the example of contact that someone can watch this and be like, all right.
Yeah, well, so, you have kind of these cursory things. So in 1952, the flyover over Washington, D.C., I mean, this was in every paper. This was a flap of objects that were able to outrun even our best fighter planes at the time. This is a where our airspace was kind of taken over. Now, contact itself, that seems to occur on an individual basis. Right. It's really, you know, no one's come down and said, here's the mothership, you know, at least not in the time frame that we're talking about modern humanity.
Right. So why does everyone always say, well, it's always backwards Hicks in the middle of Kentucky?
Oh, that's absolutely untrue.
Yeah, but you always hear that, right?
Because that is propaganda that's been put forward by every news source who grasps on. They love to play the X-Files in the background, and they love to, like, make fun of it. It's a laugh factor because you are silly enough to believe that you are the most intelligent species in the universe, right? I mean, it's ridiculous, right? So, but that's why. That's why you get that laugh factor. It's not Hicks in the backwoods, although there are waves of these craft that seem to occur in non-populated or less populated areas.
Right.
But, again, watch the citizen hearing on disclosure. You have the most credible sources you could possibly find who are testifying. These are not Hicks in the back. Although the Hicks, they probably got it right, too. I mean,
Well, that's the other thing. It seems to me that couldn't you argue that if they were just targeting Hicks, whatever, I don't even like using that word, but if they were just targeting these people that
drunks,
people don't trust.
Uncredible people.
That, in a weird way, that would actually make sense because they could learn about humans from someone that the humans then wouldn't trust, as opposed to going to somebody that we all trust. If they went to Oprah, but they didn't want us to know about it, then that would be, she has a lot of credibility.
You would be amazed who, you know, the believers are, like, President Carter, who was on Jimmy Kimmel, was both Obama and President Clinton. President Clinton openly talked about how his first task in getting into office was sending somebody to find out two things.
Yeah.
Who killed Kennedy, oddly enough? I guess as a president, you want to know.
Yeah, okay. That was the aliens, right?
Yeah, right. And then, do we have aliens at Area 51? He was unable to get access because what people don't understand is the president might have the clearance but does not have the need to know, or the reverse.
So that's like the plausible deniability line from Independence Day.
Like,
the president walked in, when Bull Pullman walks in, he said, why didn't I know about this? The guy's like, well, plausible deniability.
Right, that's a great scene. But the last president that really had the military background to be tuned in was Eisenhower. After that, everything changed, man.
Are the aliens coming to destroy us, or will we destroy them first? Let us know in the comments right down below. All right, so I can't talk about aliens and strange beliefs and skeptics and all that stuff without talking about some movies, because I think my whole ethos on this was built basically by science fiction movies, and I've seen pretty much every one that people talk about as being things that define them.
What's your
favorite? For me, my defining sci-fi movie was Contact, which was written by Carl Sagan. It was his only nonfiction book. No, his only fiction book, sorry, nonfiction. Fiction, nonfiction, I'm not sure.
Who knows?
It was his only fiction book. He, of course, was a great scientist, and he was really Neil deGrasse Tyson before he was.
Yes.
That movie, I actually went to see. I had eaten pot brownies, and I was going to see Boogie Nights, and it was sold out, and I ended up in Contact.
Oh, you
scored.
No idea what it was, man.
I mean, it literally blew my mind. It changed everything that I think. And I think Contact is sort of exactly what you're talking about with a lot of this stuff. This sort of subtle knowing of contact, but they're not going to necessarily...
Kind of like the prime directive, with Star Trek, which I'm not a big fan of. My friend is Eugene Roddenberry. So, the idea of non-interference, this is very possible. Now, interestingly enough, about Contact, one of the characters in Contact was the bald guy that was up in orbit because he had cancer.
Yeah,
That guy was modeled after a really amazing business tycoon named Robert Bigelow. You might know his name because Bigelow right now currently has two personal orbiting space habitats. He got the contract to put the inflatables onto the ISS and what? Colonize or mine the moon, right? This is Robert Bigelow. So this movie you're talking about was not far from reality in the sense that they're dealing with real people with real ideas. So just look at that equation for a second.
Well, that's why I loved Contact, because it was written by Carl Sagan, who was a master at explaining science, and this was his way of sort of
like with
making it more palatable. So Interstellar. So let's talk about that for a little bit, because that's another... I loved it because it felt like this stuff is kind of real.
It's close.
Look,
we're exploring the universe, man. We're talking literally about mining the moon and colonizing Mars. Nobody laughs at that anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a species moving off-world and starting to touch and engage the outside environment, if not live there. I mean, it is absolutely fascinating. This is real life, real world. It's happening now.
Right. So doesn't some of this go to what we were talking about in the previous segment, which is sort of the Avatar idea? that we're going to wreck this planet, and then we're going to have to go somewhere else. And then that's where the really interesting stuff happens, because then we are potentially the invaders of another planet and another species.
I don't want to be a pessimist. I think human beings are doing pretty darn well. We have our issues, but, yeah. You know, I think that we're also problem solvers. Mm-hmm. So I am an optimist in this sense. I think true exploration is going to come from a wealth of economy, a wealth of curiosity. I don't think that if we're having so many bad problems on Earth that we're going to naturally say, let's go somewhere else.
Right.
That if we thrive here, we can explore there. So we have to keep it tight in home, yeah. Right, in order to do that. So I think it's a reflection of a great society.